This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. We are thrilled that you're joining the show today. We have a great special guest. He goes back as far as when my years with the Schaumburg Flyers Independent Baseball. At that time, he was with the Gary North Shore Railcats. From there, he went on to the Marlins as one of the hitting coaches. But currently, and we went over his whole background earlier, but currently, he is the new hitting coach for the Major League Baseball's Texas Rangers. And not only that, he's just a great individual. You're going to know that once you start hearing what he talks about hitting and how he works with his young athletes. He's worked with players from 8 years old all the way to the big leagues. So, I mean, he gives us a great perspective. He's also worked many years with another great hitting coach, is currently now with the Chicago Cubs, John Mailey. But right now, I'd like to introduce to you Anthony Iapozzi. Anthony, how you doing, man?
Pete, doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Glad to talk some ball with you.
Well, thank you, especially because, you know, spring training is just around the corner. So I know you take this game very seriously and your job very seriously. So I know you got a lot going on, a lot to do to prepare with a new, brand new ball club. And I'm sure, you know, you've already started and there's a lot more to go.
Yeah, for sure. It's as soon as the new year hits, you start bearing down on spring training and trying to get that right and start making connections, back connections with everybody. So it's definitely an important time of getting ready. But, you know, when you still got out there and you have plenty of time in spring training to catch up on anything you might have missed as far great. As preparation.
Great, great. And, you know, let's get started. You know, I was mentioning a little bit offline where, you know, the game's evolved a little bit. And I mean evolved because now, you know, from when I played it, I'm a little older than you are, and when I coached, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of technology, I guess, more than anything, more science behind the game. And obviously now there's a lot more science. What do you see the difference between when we were younger with technology-wise, especially, than now currently?
Definitely a lot more usage each year. Players are coming in, high school, college players. When I was a coordinator with the Cubs and the Blue Jays, you started to see it a little bit. My last couple of years with the Cubs, you started seeing high school and college players come in, talking about velocity off the bat, talking about not just video anymore, the sports science they have, StatCast, distance, trajectory, and kids were asking these questions on how to increase that. So you have to be prepared. You have to get up on the technology. But, hey, baseball is still baseball, you know, and sometimes what I learned is if you give kids too much information at the same time, it could destroy it as well. So it's just creating a balance, especially to the individual you're talking with.
You know, that's a great point. And on top of that, you know, I know you work with coaches a lot also. You know, coaches are instrumental, obviously, in the development of young athletes. You know, what they teach and how they teach it and the things they do are very important. And you've done this for many years. What do you see the success of a hitting coach? Like, what has made you so successful right now that also now you're a major league hitting coach? That's a big deal. What are the attributes you saw?
Yeah, I think it's just you just show up and you work every day. But I think I always tell people that I'm constantly learning. I always feel when I try to tell parents and kids and other coaches is that, you know, it's not necessarily the players listening to what I'm telling them or what I'm asking them to do. It's more that I'm listening to what they want to do, and then you try to work it out together and figure out a way, whether it's approach-wise, whether it's a physical thing, maybe changing their stance, help them see the ball better, or anything else. You know, the number one thing I think where guys struggle is emotionally, is controlling their emotions, and it's an emotional game. So, you know, I think it's just you're always trying to constantly improve, not necessarily on the hitting, but just coaching. I didn't really get into it to be a hitting coach. I got into it because I like baseball, and somebody gave me an opportunity as a hitting coach, and that's kind of where it goes, but I don't even know where I'll end up, but you just keep going.
Well, as we get started here, and we're going to get into the heart of hitting and the mental part, which I know is very important to you, Tell us a little bit about, you know, a general philosophy that you follow that can also help other coaches, whether it be at the youth level all the way up to, you know, college and pro ball.
I think when anything, you know, when I first started coaching, I used to have this long list of things. I used to have this list of the absolutes, and what I've done over the last 10 years of coaching is really minimize what I'm teaching. And somebody would always ask me, you know, what do you teach? Because when you tell somebody you're a hitting coach, the first thing they want to know is, what do you teach? And you're usually talking about the swing.
What method, right?
I teach a guy to trust his gut, trust in what he believes in, and work hard and make good decisions. And if you make the bad decision, you fail for it, and then you learn from it, because you learn from failing. So if a guy doesn't trust and believe in what he's doing, it doesn't matter how many swings it takes, it doesn't matter what drill he's doing, it doesn't matter what hitting gimmick he's using, if he doesn't trust and believe and isn't a full 100% in it, it doesn't matter. So I think the first thing I learned to do is get a guy to trust himself, because the majority of the time when a player comes up to you and asks you, hey, do you see this in my swing? He's right. He just needs some reassurance, or she needs reassurance. But almost 100% of the time, they're correct, you know, and they have to learn to correct themselves. I think you're constantly teaching players to do that. So I would advise parents and coaches at the lower levels is to really do that instead of telling players what to do. Get them to teach themselves, and that's just letting them fail, letting them play, and not coach them up so much, you know, because kids aren't playing in the streets anymore. They're not coaching themselves anymore. They're looking for signs with nobody on base in the first inning. They're doing things like that. So it's letting the players, letting the kids play a little bit and not be on them so much.
And when you know, young kid, and that's so true, because you're right, kids don't play enough, and there's no doubt about it. We need that during that failure time, that's when kids really learn. I know that's when I learned, you know, just being out in the streets and playing a game. Now, mechanically, you know, I hear this a lot. You know, I know I was one of those mechanical hitters. I remember, I think it was Ernie Banks at that Grand Slam one time said, Pete, you got a great swing. Yeah, that's great, but I couldn't hit. You know, talk about a little bit about what you think. Can we overdo the mechanics? And also, within the mechanics, are there some key areas that are critical that coaches need to understand that hitters need to do?
Yeah, I think mechanics is just like anything else, too much information as far as stats and you're trying to get an edge as a player. You're always trying to get better, so sometimes it's our own fault as professionals trying to improve our game, trying to improve our teaching. We might get too much mechanics or too much scouting reports or anything like that. But I think far from a mechanical standpoint, for the younger guys, I think everything revolves around your first move, and I like to call it the move before the move. It's just an initial small gathering before a guy does a leg kick, before a guy does a toe tap, before a guy just does a conventional stride, to keep his head and keep his body centered so that he can stride in a straight line directionally. So, and everything revolves around that. If he overrides against his backside or goes over on his backside, he's going to jump forward. If he starts too late, so your settling move with your upper body or your knee turn to keep you compact before you get out there and attack the ball. And everything revolves around that, getting in a good strong heading position, landing 50-50 on both legs, using your lower half and your hands to work together, and then your hands go directionally straight. So there's so many different ways people, you know, are you a hands guy, are you a legs guy, are you a core guy? I'm an everything guy. It takes everything in the swing to work together and sequentially and rhythmically and have some rhythm. So it's a lot, but what I learned is, you know, dealing with, I've been in four organizations as a coach, it's like 600 players from age 16 to 41 in professional ball that I've been fortunate enough to put a ball on the tee with and talk about things and learn things, is that everybody is different. It's crazy. There's similarities in the swing, but there's no swing exactly the same. You know, you could look at a swing and go, that's the swing I want. Right? My decade, it was like Don Mattingly, Ken Griffey Jr., who had the best swings. And I still compare things to that, which you shouldn't. You know, you should just find ways to keep improving the player. So it's a balance, man. It's learning your hitter. It's learning your player. It's learning your kid. It's learning your coaches, and just keep evolving.
That's great. And let me ask you, as now the hitting coach with the Rangers, what's the philosophy of the Rangers when it comes to, you know, you get a young prospect, they just signed, they come into spring training, You just let them go for a while. Do you start working with them right away? I know I've heard both aspects of that.
The player's going to dictate when they're ready or if they're ready, when they need help again. And it hurts, especially at the major. Like when I was a coordinator with the Cubs, it's a little bit easier because, you know, you're developing and winning at the same time. So, you know, when a kid's an A-ball, you throw him out there and let him fail, and then he'll come back to you when he's ready. And then you can make more of an impact. But if you jump on them too soon, they're going to push you away, and then you can never get to them.
Well, you could let me ask you quick, since you're on that, you could also have the opposite, right? I mean, a kid could be starting well, and because sometimes as coaches, and even at the younger levels, high school, college, we want to make a change maybe because we want to be part of the process.
Right.
And all of a sudden he goes into a slump.
Right, no doubt, no doubt. Like I always liked and tried to tell players, like, I'm your assistant hitting coach. You know, you're your own hitting coach. Teach me what you do, and we'll go from there. I will be here for you at all times. I'll do whatever you want us to do as an organization, as a coach. But you got to do it yourself because nobody's passing you the ball in the batter's box. Hitting is the most selfish thing in team sports. So it's on you. You got to learn to control your thoughts. You got to know your swing. You got to know what the pitcher's doing. And we'll provide you the information and anything that we can. But my biggest thing is teaching a player to be his own coach.
Well, you talked a little bit about it. Maybe let's get into a little bit. You talked about the relationship between a coach and a hitter. Maybe elaborate on that. Give us an idea what you mean by that.
I think it comes down to just getting to know your players. Myself and our other hitting coach, Justin Mayshore, we have two coaches with the Rangers. He does a great job of getting to know the players real well. And it's getting to know the players, not just their swing and anything like that, but where they grew up, what their thoughts were, especially like every kid now, like we were saying, has grown up in a cage, has grown up doing lessons, so they have their preconceived thoughts of what they think is right. And it's not now who's right, it's just how to be more efficient and be more successful in the game to help the team win and for yourself to improve as a hitter. So it's getting to know where they're from, what they like. You know, when I was with the Cubs, I would have guys fill out questionnaires just from things like, what's your favorite video games? Who's your favorite players? What's the definition of a leader? What's your favorite ice cream? And I'm telling you could find out a lot about a guy just by reading the questionnaires that I would put out for these guys to fill out. Mm-hmm. So it's getting to know the person and not necessarily and building the trust. You know, that's everybody says that, but it is true. But getting to know the person and how he ticks, and maybe he's a guy that you cannot say a whole lot of stuff to. Maybe he's a guy that you can give him video information. Maybe he's a non-video guy. Maybe he's just a feel guy. Maybe he doesn't want a lot of information. So you got to have a lot of tricks up your sleeve, and then you also have to be able to go to other coaches for help. You know, because we have a great staff, and I'm not afraid to ask our bench coach, Steve Buchel, hey, can you go talk to so-and-so? Maybe you could, you know. We don't have that type of relationship with our staff and our players. We want everybody to help. So
that's great.
Group effort. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. And what about, you know, like, I mean, you've got, you know, younger guys, older guys, you've got hitters that, you know, like to hit on their own. You know, do you have is there a particular system that you have with your hitters? Each guy has, like, that you're working on different things with different guys, or is it the same thing all the time with everyone?
No, it could change throughout the season. A guy could be working on something, and I've had guys come up to me, they're having success, but they still know something's not right, and that's when it gets really tricky. Because they're having success, but they know themselves so well, then they could just be like, hey, I'm just getting my hits right now, but I don't feel like I should be driving the ball. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be hitting the ball the way I am the other way, or competing with two strikes, but they're getting hit. So a lot of those guys understand that, and that's when it becomes tricky because you don't want to take them away from the set, their success, what they're having right now. But if they don't feel right, as coaches, you have to figure out how to get them to feel right so that maybe they can get a little bit better and maybe doing better than what they're doing now. So everybody's different. We don't have time sets to come in the cage. It's open cages all day till BP, after BP. They'll come and get myself or just to make sure to go hit, whether it's, you know, setting up the breaking ball machine, slider machine. We set up the knuckleball machine to face the guy from Boston and Mickey this year. whether it's tee, front flips, side flips. Everybody's different on what they like to do. But for the most part, what I learned too in the big leagues is the same as the best players in the minor leagues. Guys like to challenge themselves in practice.
Yeah, and that's something we're definitely going to talk about, because one thing I want to ask is, and a lot of coaches struggle with this, including myself, you know, you've got hitters, you've worked on, let's say, a couple of weeks. And remember, we're also can be relating this to younger coaches with young kids and high school guys. But you've got young players, and you've done some of your work. It's a couple of weeks maybe. And now you've got to also start preparing them for game situations. Mm-hmm. You know, the mechanics are there. Everything feels good. But now they got to pick up the ball. What are some things that you do to help them identify the pitch, the location, the speed, the timing? Because that's, you know, obviously that's the game, right? If you can't time the ball, if you can't see it, you can't time it, I'm not sure you're going to be able to hit it. So maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, anticipation and visualization equals timing for me. Closing your eyes and see everything happen before it happens. We try to explain to guys that you want your swing to be like how you drive a car or how you tie your shoelaces, where you don't even think about it. You could drive somewhere and get there, and you don't even remember how you got there. Right, you don't think about your hand crossing a wheel, or where you're turning the dial, or where you're putting it on for the stick shift.
Absolutely.
When you're tying your shoelaces, you're not thinking about the loop or tying it tight or loose. Or, you know, now you know if your shoe's tight, you loosen it. If it's too loose, you tighten it. So you try to keep it as simple as possible for the players, like mm-hmm. that when it comes to teaching them. So you're trying to get your swing that way, so that you trust. And the biggest thing I've seen, whether a guy has a good swing or a bad swing, I mean, I've seen that we would think is a bad swing have success, is that he trusts his swing and he knows what he can't hit, so therefore he has success. Where there's a guy with a great swing who has no trust and no belief in what he's doing, and he's going to fail every time. Hmm. So it's such an inner thought in baseball during the game. It's more of how to control their thoughts when they're not in action, right?
First thing comes to my mind is Hunter Pence for some reason.
No doubt. Everybody talks about that. I mean, his ball comes off the bat. I think him and Stanton, the highest velo consistently off the bat. So,
But it looks ugly, right?
His on-deck stuff, you know, for me, nothing is ugly. You know, yeah. I just like success. I like hits.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So when a guy's getting hits and people could say, that's not a pretty swing, but this guy's one of the most successful guys in baseball. He's doing something right.
Absolutely.
He's all in on what he's doing. He believes what he's doing is right. Mm-hmm. He believes in his on-deck prep is right. And he plays hard, so he's going to have success. You know, you'd rather have guys like that than guys who have the pretty swing but are afraid of failure, afraid of success. So it's teaching guys to control their thoughts when they're not hitting, in between each pitch, what they're thinking about, how to keep those thoughts minimal. When they're on defense, how to focus pitch to pitch, this moment. And that's kind of when I came up with, you know, I do a presentation now every year. It's called Win Every Pitch, which is our mantra, and it was with the Cubs too. It's not just in the game. It's winning every pitch in practice. It's winning every pitch off the tee. It's winning every pitch when you're throwing. Always constantly working on something. It doesn't always have to be in the game to win every pitch. It's winning it in practice. So it's teaching guys to control their thoughts. And they can slow the ball down. Sometimes it looks slow, sometimes it looks fast, but it's the same speed. So how does that happen? You know, that's our brain talking. So when I was with Chicago, we worked with some neuroscientists, and I learned a lot from those guys about visualization and anticipation and how things happen. And, you know, it's kind of like we talk about timing, and I give an example, and you'll hear me speak about it at the Mohegan, is when I first took my daughter to Ocean and she was able to run and jump and we're standing in front of these waves, and I held her hand, and I said, all right, when this wave comes, I want you to try and jump over it. And she's like, okay. So she's probably like 2. So I didn't tell her when or nothing. Now, when the wave starts coming, she starts like squeezing my hand, right? So she's getting ready. Then she starts bending down, and she tries to time it out. You know, nobody's telling her when to jump, when to time it, right? She's seeing it. She's anticipating. She's visualizing. And that's what we try to bring to hitting.
So that's, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you need more experience. I mean, the more action you get, the more live BP, the more, I don't know, machine hitting, whatever you're doing, you just need more and more of that to get that experience.
No doubt. And it could be, you know, especially for kids, It doesn't have to be baseball. It could be tennis. It could be lacrosse. It could be basketball. It could be football. You learn how to time up with the quarterback. You learn how to time an alley-oop. You're timing your jump shot. You're timing your soccer kick. All that is hitting. It's just a different sport. So
I love that.
So it's awesome when kids go and you learn timing from other sports. Like, I was walking into Dunkin' Donuts today after I dropped my daughter off, and somebody was opening the door, and I timed it out. I rushed so I didn't, you know, so I could squeeze in there. You know what I mean? So
wow.
Your experience, timing is everything you do. You just got to find a way to take that in your hitting.
And I love the win every pitch, boy. And I encourage everybody around the world. Anthony's on Twitter, and tell me, and make sure I get it right, Anthony. It's at Anthony Iapoce, Iapoce. Mm-hmm. Correct? You have a website too?
No, I just got on Instagram at Iapoce Baseball. So next thing, hopefully I can get a website and start using Iapoce Baseball to continue doing camps and clinics. Cause I live in New York. I live in New York right now. So we're here with my family, and we started Iapoce Baseball, and we're trying to do camps and clinics and then hopefully build some type of Iapoce Baseball convention in New York.
Fantastic. That's going to be awesome. We'll be putting that stuff on our website. And the other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, again, are there drills or are there things that you can do with players, at whether it's your level or anybody else, where you can kind of create that game situation? Because that's one of the things I think players struggle with. They're just not ready for game situations.
No doubt. Baseball is the only sport we don't practice game speed. Mm-hmm. So it makes it difficult at times. And when you do things game speed, because you can't have the pitcher, even pitchers that are throwing live BP, it's still not 100% all in by the pitches. Some of them are really close. Your best ones are still out there competing early in spring training, but it's so early, the players are still a month away from getting ready. So they're just kind of seeing the ball and getting their timing down, getting their confidence back. But, you know, you set up high velo machines as hard as you can, 90-plus. The players move up to try and simulate that 95 mile an hour speed off the machine. You'd be surprised about how many guys do that before a game or a couple times a week just to see velocity if they hadn't seen it in the 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Guys who don't play every day do that a lot.
Mm-hmm. But you could do that with the younger groups too.
Oh, yeah, you can do it with you guys too. Yeah, anything that I've learned or have given to a player or asked a player to try something have I learned doing lessons at Mealy's Pro Style back in Griffith, Indiana, you know, 2000, 2009, those years, just, you know, because kids come in and they have all different setups and they're basically, you know, just there holding a bat and you have to put them in position. So you learn these things of how to teach kids from 5 to 17 to swing the bat, to stay balanced, to not be afraid, you know, to try to anticipate a little more. But, you know, you have tons of drills. Everybody has all these hitting drills, and everybody believes that this is the drill. And the things that I've learned is it's not the drill. You know, people like to use the word fix, so I'll use it because I don't like to. Mm-hmm. It's not the drill that fixes the swing. It's the person's thought during the drill that makes him improve. Or else everybody in the whole world would do the same drill.
Yeah.
So it's somebody's thought, you know. So say, you know, like I always give the example of Chris Bryant. He loved to do high tee. We would do high tee. He loved high tee. He liked trying to get on top of the ball to try to level out just a little bit more. So now some dad walks by with his kid and watch Chris Bryant taking 100 swings off the tee on a high tee, and he goes home and makes his kid do it. But he doesn't know what Chris is thinking about. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't know his thought process of how he's improving. Am I swinging down? Am I swinging flat? Am I trying to hit the back part of the net? You know, am I trying to hit the back up part of the net in the gaps? Am I trying to hit a ground ball? Instead of just, I think a lot of times kids learn stuff, or as parents we learn stuff and we get overzealous, and then we don't talk about the thoughts that they should be having it. We just speak about the action.
Hmm. Is there something, you know, you talked about balance. Is there something that is key to the balance that can help young hitters, or something they can work on when it comes to balance?
Yeah, I think it's trusting that you could stay. Now, you know, especially for young left-handers that are fast, everybody wants them to get out of the box and get a time. Let me tell you that. As soon as you start moving up the line of baseball, you got to hit the ball hard through the infield on the line or in a fly ball and hit the gaps on the outfield grass. If you hit a ground ball and you beat it out, that's a plus. But just stay in the box, stay balanced, stay within yourself. I think guys fall off balance
And no doubt, when they're trying to do too much, they're pulling off the ball. They're trying to pull everything, but pulling off, not anticipating contact out in front, not staying through the ball. I think if you just try to stay for young hitters out there, parents, stay through the middle of the field. The middle of the field is from the left fielder to the right fielder. It's gap to gap, and that's how you learn how to hit and stay in balance and staying through the middle. I know it sounds simple, but trust me, it's not easy. The player still doesn't know what's coming, so it makes it harder to do. But this generation, everything is power, whether it's pitching, whether it's hitting. Everything online is get more power, hit the ball farther, throw the ball harder. But hey, you can hit the ball as far as you want, but if you can't make contact, you're not gonna help a team win. So I don't know how far that's gonna go. Mm-hmm. How you learn to hit is staying through the middle of the field, especially at a young age, making quality contact, competing with two strikes, and just trying to win every pitch. And that all helps with balance.
And players that are progressing, you know, they're hitting a fastball, but then you all of a sudden, you know, you hear a lot of times, well, he didn't move up to the next level because he can't hit the off-speed stuff. How do you train for that? Now they're throwing different speeds.
Well, I think it depends. I think a lot of guys don't hit the off-speed because they're afraid of it, not afraid of it like, you know, a guy jumps out of the closet and scares you afraid, but afraid that they can't hit it. So then they look for stuff that you can't hit, and then you end up chasing at it in the dirt, and then you get upset, and then you look for it more, and then they throw in the dirt, and you swing at it more. The best players I learned is that there are guys in the major leagues that don't necessarily can hit really good breaking balls or sliders. You know, they hit some hangers. They all jump on the fastball.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they if they know they're facing a soft pitcher, they're just going to take their knock. They're going to take their single, you know, right center field gap the other way and be done with it, you know. So most of the times young kids can't hit off speed. Is one, they fear of it, and I think that fear sometimes is put in by coaches and parents. You got to hit the curveball, you got to hit the curveball, you say that 1 million times, it's going to make their heart race, and it's just going to set panic into them, you know.
Absolutely.
Tell them to stay on the fastball, and as a kid, you could eliminate pitches, especially at the lower levels, and not have to worry about those kids throwing breaking balls for strikes. And if they do, let them do it again. There's guys on our team that won't swing at breaking stuff till two strikes, and sometimes they won't even do that because they don't think the pitcher could throw it for a strike consistently. Right.
Is there something?
At the lower levels, you could set up the machine and spin it, and that helps give kids confidence for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Spin some balls at them. You know, some kids don't hit the breaking ball because they're afraid to get hit, so they're balanced. Now the ball's going away. There's a lot of things to it.
Is there something you could recommend to young hitters? You know, when they step in the box, the thing that you know they should be thinking about. You know, that was an issue I had a lot of times. What should I be thinking? And then you hear also, there's major league players. You know, they have a plan when they go up the home plate, and a lot of times they're also possibly I don't know if guess isn't a good word, but they're anticipating a certain pitch at a certain count.
That's funny you say that when you say guessing, because I use the anticipation too. I think pitchers are the ones that use guess or sitting on pitches. I always, what is the guy supposed to do? Look for 10 pitches or look for nothing? Like, he's picking one, you throw it. That's, you know, that's not a guess. That's an approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing what the pitcher has, even at a young level, even at the high school level, even at the grammar school level, 7th and 8th grade. You can start figuring out if a guy has – watch the pitchers warm up. But, you know, Springer. It's just like Springer says, you're going to have 27 at-bats in the dugout, and that's so important that that's where you learn whether or not you should look for breaking ball, whether you should look for a fastball, whether you should hit the ball the other way, or maybe you have to pull the ball to get the head out because the guy's jamming you up. You've got to watch the game from the dugout. But I think this generation of kids, we have to learn from them because a lot of it, we're really consumed with ourselves and not watch the game. So it gets tougher for coaches because you can look down the dugout and maybe some guy's watching video with his parent of his swing, you know, on the side of the fence. I've seen that during the game.
Sure.
You know, you should be watching the pitcher, not your at-bat. So mm-hmm. It's teaching guys to watch the game, watch what the pitcher has, and then going up there and trusting what you do. Players don't, at the major league level, minor league level, high school level, amateur level, little league level, they don't get mad because they make out. They get mad because they didn't trust their gut. They didn't trust their approach. They got in the box, and they changed it. And they always come back going, dang it, I knew he was going to throw that, but I changed my mind. But if you go in with 100% trust and you fail, at least you can learn from it, and then you can improve on it.
That's great. All right, we are going to take a break with Anthony Iapozzi. We'll be right back with Baseball Outside the Box.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.